Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. When Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. We'll have a lot. We'll blend into the show today. We got big guests at 1 o'clock. Henry and Dan, and I've been tagged in at times, too. It's been all hands on deck. We've been trying to get somebody on from Aurora, Colorado, the Venezuelan gangs, Springfield, the geese, and other things. And we ended up getting on an outfit at 1 o'clock today that President Trump shouted out yesterday from Charleroi, Pennsylvania. They're the town in the news now because... And let's just not say Haitians. Let's say the elites saying we're going to dump it on you.
So
who tags in? Not just elitist Taylor Swift endorsing and saying, I can't stand it. We need calm, not chaos. Hey, Taylor, go to Springfield. Go to Aurora. Go to Charleroi. You know, sort of like Reading. It's smaller than Reading, but that's where you grew up. Johnny Legend. From Beverly Hills, this clown tags in to make the argument, why are we not like Christ when it comes to the Haitians being taken? Let's put them in. Sorry to get so wound up early. Let's put them in Beverly Hills. Do you think Johnny's neighbors would want 20,000 Haitians coming to Beverly Hills? Why is it always? We know why. Because they're shielded. They're insulated from this. He's insulated from it. And talking about Christ and all the rest, how are you married to that woman then? You ought to look in the mirror. The wife. He's bad enough. So we'll play him here in a second. Broader point about last night's event with Don Jr. We have some hilarious things. Couldn't have been more personable behind the scene and taller. I don't know. I don't know about the coif, though, Dan. I think a little bit too much hair gel there. I like a little bit free-flowing.
Who? You?
No, Don Trump Jr.
You think so?
Yeah, less hair gel.
Oh,
I think the hair could stand it. But Roe, fashion commentator sitting in the front row, said, well, I think Dan's suit was the perfect blend. It was the suit of the night there.
Really?
Yes.
That's very
Yeah, yeah.
Like
she'll
her.
Be texting
That's
you that.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Roe.
I didn't think people were as dressed up. Some of the people that came through and took the pictures with him were, as I expected them to be. And there was a priest in the front row,
yeah,
which we have an exorcism comment here from Don Jr. with a green Phillies hat on. So, and we did give a shout out to Linda Kearns, well-deserved, even though I couldn't see her when she stood up there. You know, the room was darkened. I like to see the audience. Yeah, I like to see who we're working with, how they're reacting to all this. But what a great night. And the point is this. They don't understand, people that attack talk radio. It's not just about politics, heavy duty. Of course, we're in the middle of that. It's a club. It's a camaraderie. It's the fun. It's the bonding. They have no clue. Every one of these people that write about us, talk about, they have no clue because they're miserable. I mean, to see the effort that went into listeners to get Joe of Exton there last night, to meet Joe of Exton, I could hear the opera music playing in the background as he was speaking. It's just golden. Here's a guy who calls in. What is he on? 35, 40 seconds? He's a man of few words. He makes them count. He'll be calling in today on the side question, I'm sure, Dan. And yet he's a rock star with our listeners. And Earl of Tacone doesn't know who Joe is, but... chauffeurs him around the world. That's quite a
that
trip.
Was but, yeah. I want to underline and just thank Earl.
Yeah, sure.
Because if you're just hearing about this, Joe of Exton, Earl, two of our top callers, caller of the year contest finalists, I believe, or semifinalists.
Right.
Earl won that contest. He's always suggested that he drive Joe of Exton down to Mulligan's, but that's a very far distance for Joe to go. So when this happened, Joe, he got some tickets, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to get there. And I said, Earl's in the past suggested driving you. Earl jumped at the opportunity, had a whole itinerary written out, got on the phone with Joe's son. It was just a beautiful thing to see. And just to your point of the camaraderie and the relationships built in our mm-hmm. audience and by conservatives. It's beautiful. And I don't know, can I contrast real quick, just get it behind you, some of the sounds of outside? It's...
We vote, we win. We vote, we win. We vote, we win.
And you notice that, like, the camaraderie inside was amazing. You go outside and address these protesters, Dom, and you actually talk to them. And we'll get to that at some point whenever you want.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
let's play a little bit. So Dana and I went outside with the protesters. We like to chat with them. And the fun, but they did have fun on this, Dan. They had the signs about how many rubles are you getting paid in tonight.
Their signs
I love the rubles. I love the Russian stuff.
They're like crayon made, though. Eh?
Well, they are. They're just don't take the bait. I said hello, and the one woman next to the other woman said, don't take the bait. I just said hello. Don't take the bait.
What's
watch
the bait?
It.
And just want to, you know, say hi.
Here's how it sounded.
We vote, we win.
Out tonight.
We vote, we win. We vote, we win.
You guys listening?
We vote, we win.
We vote, we win.
Ever heard of it?
Oh, shame.
Be ashamed of myself.
We vote, we win.
Okay. I'm not arguing. I'm just you guys announced give us a call tomorrow.
I love the give us a call tomorrow.
Please give us a call if you were there last night or if you were one of those protesters. We vote, we win in the middle of New Jersey. Oh, my God. But the rubles and the Russian stuff, that seemed to be the tenor of what they were going with.
For a political party that's gotten very creative with chants, it's a very boring chant, guys.
Yeah,
can't you do better?
Yeah.
We vote, we come on.
All right. Hey, Father.
Dom's got nice hair.
There you go. That would be appropriate.
No, maybe that's too nice, you know.
We had one guy and one woman feel the blue suit. One guy comes up, oh, I'm not feeling it. I just wanted to, oh, that material. So a woman came over and then did it too. Here is, we'll play you, here's Don Jr., and I guess he has a lot of practice, and he is a funny, very funny guy, Don Jr., I think funnier than Trump in his own way, really.
Like a stand-up comedian, really. Like,
yeah, it was endless.
Charismatic as all.
Yeah, and here is Don Jr. impersonating Don Jr. Sr.
You know, so I just said, literally, I go, you know, I knew he was alive at that point, so I go, hey, man, you're the biggest badass I've ever seen, and I... You know, and, you know, we sort of talked about that for a little bit, and then, you know, but it's still such an uncomfortable, you know, 90 minutes of no knowledge. You couldn't get through on cell phones. You know, I guess the one thing Secret Service did right that day, they shut down communications in case there was IEDs or whatever, who knows. And, you know, after that, I had to ask, I was like, you know, just to break the ice, because it's,
sure,
know,
so absolutely.
I'm the guy that will always be inappropriate. So I was just like, so listen, more importantly, how's the hair?
Don, the hair is fine. The hair...
When
the hair is fine.
That?
It's a little bloody, Don. It's a little bloody, but...
But, you know...
We need more of that.
Yeah,
we got more.
You know, it was... Yes. Yeah. Listen, looking back, I'm like, you're an idiot, Don. Like, why did you... But, like, I think we all actually probably needed that icebreaker, and then, like, everything was okay. You get sort of the adrenaline dump of, like, this crazy...
Right, Don, to that.
All right. And we went on to talk about what he thinks about the Secret Service. Dick Blumenthal, Dan, of all people, I'm not sure if I see it on here. Yeah, I do see it. We'll play that in a minute. Yesterday, and this whole thing about the shooting, Dick Blumenthal, and this is Dan Nang Dick, this is a guy who's a stone cold progressive, Connecticut, said he was even more appalled by the Secret Service stonewalling now of what's going on. These guys, with their 60 days, they still are not talking to Congress. The Congress needs to examine this and to exert more authority and not let them lawyer up, not let them run out the clock and say you're going to jail if you don't talk. When we, this is your charge to protect the life of the presidential candidates or president. And we're how many days in? I even forget back to Gettysburg. So we'll get into that today, too. But I wanted to start with Johnny Legend, because the one good thing out of the pets, and did it happen or didn't it happen in Springfield, the media now has to at least talk about this. DJ Dan just sent me this. There's a town near Gettysburg with a Civil War orphanage that has historical value. Gettysburg. That the town council has said, nope, you're not going to put 1,000 Haitian immigrants in there. Federal government is saying, watch us. So we got a Civil War showdown now. outside of Gettysburg with this historic orphanage, it's called, where they want to put all these Haitians that are there. So we know of four cities, Aurora, Venezuelan gangs taking over housing projects or apartments. We know Springfield's a biggie. Charleroi, they're going to be on today at 1 o'clock, the mayor and the councilman. That's where they were talking about putting Creole on the stop signs so that people would stop. Two businesses have left. Some think it's because of what's going on there, although the councilman who's on says, I'll tell you the good side of Asian Haitian immigrants also. But the downside of what we're seeing is incredible. But Johnny Legend, sitting in Beverly Hills, tells us about Christ, tells us about the Haitians. Apparently, at one point in his life, he lived in Springfield, Ohio. Here's Johnny Legend.
My name is John Legend, and I was born as John R. Stevens from a place called Springfield, Ohio. Oh, Springfield, Ohio. You may have heard of Springfield, Ohio this week. In fact, if you watched the debate, we were discussed by our presidential candidates.
That's discussed it.
A very special
teacher coming
interesting
out.
Man named Donald J. Trump. Now, Springfield has had a large influx of Haitian immigrants who have come to our city. Now, our city had been shrinking for decades.
Shrinking.
We didn't have enough jobs. We didn't have enough opportunity. So people left and went somewhere else. So when I was there, we had upwards of 75,000 people. And in the last 5 years, we were down to like 60,000 people. But of late, during the Biden administration, there have been more jobs that opened up, more manufacturing jobs, more plants, factories that needed employees and were ready to hire people. So we had a lot of job opportunities, and we didn't have enough people in our town of 60,000 people to fill those jobs. And during the same time, there had been upheaval and turmoil in Haiti, and the federal government granted visas and immigration status to a certain number of Haitian immigrants so they could come.
Okay,
to-
well, let me stop him here. Then he went on to say, well, of course you have to expect this, that, and the other. This poor town being inundated. Aren't there opportunities, Johnny Legend, in Beverly Hills? Don't you need landscapers or something there? My God, look at those things. How about Steph Curry's house? I know he needs some landscapers. What we're seeing here, and again, it maddens me. Look, we've said it, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. You don't want to win. Trump missed a great opportunity here by going forward and screaming about the pets and all that. Laura Loomer in his ear. That's my sense here. Rather than saying, he could have said, there are allegations of that. But here's the main thing, David Muir, that you and your colleague won't understand because of where you live. And that is these towns are being taken apart. This one in Gettysburg just broke this morning, near Gettysburg. Historic Civil War. Battle over an orphanage. And they want to put in Haitians, 1,000 Haitian refugees. Why are they not in places like Beverly Hills or Chestnut Hill, all these hills places? We know why. And yet we get lectured all the time by the Taylor Swifts, the Johnny Legends.
You might imagine there are some challenges.
Yeah, challenges.
You know, integrating a new population, new language, new culture, new dietary preferences. All kinds of reasons why there might be growing pains.
Growing pains. This guy's sitting in Beverly Hills. And what bothers me the most, and that's why it's got to be another debate, Trump can do this. Come on. To make the case, look at the body of evidence. Look at how clear this has been provoked now. This is what they're doing to us. This is what they've done to us. These communities are under attack. They're being taken down by this. And this isn't even illegal immigrants. This is by fiat, 300,000 more from Haiti. Look, you got to feel for the people in Haiti. The bottom line is we feel for Americans first. Don't lecture me about Christ. That's the worst thing, this guy, about Jesus, Johnny Legend, he and his wife, about Jesus. Where do you get this nerve? You get it because you're gifted. You have a great voice. You have a great style. So you're one of a kind. Everybody has to kowtow to you. And they're not going to say, are you kidding me? You go back to Springfield, Johnny. Go back to Springfield, Ohio. Now, maybe Trump, I was thinking this, Dan, last night with Don Jr. I asked it because it was a listener question. I could tell deep down, Don Jr.'s probably thinking, yeah, if Trump didn't say what he said in the debate in the manner that he did, you can bet, we would do a town hall right there in Springfield, Ohio. Could Trump still do that? Maybe. I still would do it. Or Charleroi, or Aurora, or this town outside of Gettysburg, Scotland. It just begs to be done. And go after Taylor Swift. Go after Johnny Legend. They're not going to face this. I can't imagine. I mean, Dan, where you were living before versus where you are now, there's a heck of a difference, wouldn't you say, in quality of life?
Oh, yeah.
And not going to put up with it as they are in the city.
And when walking the dog, I had to be worried about getting shot. Now I have to all worry about coyotes.
Oh, well,
quite a difference in quality of life.
Well, that's better. I'm sure Maisie can handle it. She likes in the Old West. She can handle that. All right. Let me give you the side question today. If you were there last night, we'd love to hear from you. It was a spectacular night. We'll play you more sound as we go along.
I did grab him on Springfield, Ohio, if you wanted that.
Who's that?
Don Jr.
Yeah, let's hear Don Jr. on it. Yes.
Backstage, we were talking, maybe a little upset, the debate on Tuesday night. I was watching in the spin room, as I told you. Where were you watching, and what were you saying?
I was in Ohio, actually. I was doing all-day events with Bernie Moreno over there, you know, try to, you know, win up some United States Senate seats. So I did five events there, you know, coincidentally right next to, right near Springfield.
We'll get to it.
Where they definitely weren't eating dogs and cats until now everyone realizes they actually were. And there were calls from 2 weeks ago before it was a meme and before it was a story. And, you know, that's not the outrage cycle. You know, once it became about a cat, all of a sudden they got in the news. But the fact that actual citizens from these towns are getting nothing while they're giving thousands of dollars a month to migrants that have been transplanted there. And the citizen, you know, that outrage and those tears from genuine people just upset at what's going on. That gets no coverage.
Yeah, good stuff. Right on the money. Absolutely. Do the town hall still there. Do the other debate. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Lindsay Davis, the colleague of David Muir, an interview with the LA Times in which she talks about, she breaks the seal. They weren't going to let what went on in the CNN interview go on. They were going to be intervening. They talked about it well in advance. So I have people, nobody last night, Dan, but they say, well, then why would you do a third debate? Are you nuts? This can be dealt with. This is to our advantage. Yesterday, we had Harry Hurley, Bill O'Reilly, and I have others, too, that say, of course you can do this. She won't be as protected in another debate, and Trump will be better. This is the opportunity. I think in the end, he'll do it. I know he said he wouldn't yesterday, but that may be negotiating. I think it's going to happen. All right. So today is Friday the 13th, National Superstition Day. Dan, I don't have too many, to be honest. You and Henry may have to carry the. I'll say this, though. I looked up some of the top superstitions on list, and God bless you is. I just think that's like a courtesy. I don't think it's. I do that constantly, as you know.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So God bless you. Almost like a reflex.
Yeah, it's like a reflex, yeah.
So what I want today, Dom, is because it's Friday the 13th, you know, people might not believe in superstitions, or maybe they do, and, you know, I'd love for someone to call in with a superstition they do actually abide by, but expanding it, I mean, things that you do in life that you feel, maybe it's a little, I hate to say, but a tinge of OCD that you have to do it in life or else you feel like something's going to go wrong.
Exactly. Why take a chance?
So, Dom, it's weird, but every night, I don't know what it is. Maybe it is a little bit of OCD. I don't think I'm going to be able to sleep perfectly unless I make the bed right before I get into bed and Maisie hates it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Oh,
yep. It has to be perfectly coiffed.
What a week this has been. What?
Not when you like wake up in the morning.
Yeah,
and get
you're supposed
up
to make it,
make it.
No. Well, no. It's dirty all day. We just do it right before bed. I need it perfect.
Oh my god.
It needs to be pristine when I get in.
Ironing it.
No, but that's a good idea. Maybe I'll start ironing it.
There you go. Let's
get a perfect fold in the corner.
And are you wearing boxers or briefs when you're doing that?
I am wearing my briefs because it's funny you say that. I'm not good with boxers, and maybe there's a little superstition involved in that. Or maybe that's just pure OCD, I think.
All right, Henry, what's yours?
Well, every time I play basketball, whether it's shooting hoops, going to the park, going to the gym, something like that, I have to make the last shot before I leave.
Really?
And it used to be like I wouldn't touch the ball again after that either. I'd like hold it on my shirt. I'm like, this ball.
Oh man,
until
this
the
is
next
a great
time.
One.
Because like if I didn't make the last shot, my jump shot would go away. I'd lose all my powers.
So let me ask you, Henry, what if there's another person that has the same superstition? Are you guys just going back and forth? One of you finally gets the last shot and you're just tired, you can't shoot anymore?
Yeah, I would go all night. I would, if it's a battle, I'd win because I'm not losing my jumper.
All night.
All right. Oh, we got a basketball matchup here, Dan. I've never played a producer. We'll have to consider this. Yeah. All right, so that is great stuff. Bizarre on Dan's side.
Well, there's one more I'll do. I guess we can kind of expand it to you a little bit. You feel you must drive with your left foot or else you're going to get in a car crash.
Well, I broke the ankle and now I'm for life. It's pretty hard to switch back. I tried it. It was not easy. Always with the left foot. All right, 855-839-1210. Get in on the side on that. Response to Johnny Legend. Is this something that's, if Republicans handle this correctly, this breaks open, it brings home what's happening in America. And are dopes going to listen to Taylor Swift? About 800,000 now or more have registered as a result of the link that she put up. So why? Yeah, what is it? Is it Taylor Swift driving him? Will they actually show up and vote? We'll talk about more about that, too, on Talk Radio 1210.
As a young kid, my mother, who escaped communist Czechoslovakia, sent me there every summer. I spoke the language fluently. I had friends there. I've waited in the bread lines that Bernie Sanders thinks are so glamorous.
Wait a minute.
I promise
you speak Czech? Is that the
I
language?
I speak fluent Czech, yeah.
Can you give us a little Czech, Don?
I'm living perfect at Chestige. I'm living a little bit there.
No coffee, no cream.
Yeah,
no sugar.
Exactly.
No
sugar.
That's a great response.
I grew up in, I spent my summers in communist Czechoslovakia, and it was great, but I also learned to appreciate what we have here as Americans.
All right, so, and he also, I think, went to the Hill School. Is that the one that's in Pottstown? And I'd hate to be sent to Pottstown for high school. No offense, but I don't know. It would be strange from South Philly, let alone Trump Tower. We did talk too. Watch.
Sounds like a Sims.
Dan will be using that somehow or another for a money melody. We'll translate that. It was riveting stuff last night. Next event, we're not sure, but I hope that you get to be part of it. It was as spectacular as any, given the stakes, given where we are, given everything. All right, but Johnny Legend, we played that for you. Just incredible. They can't get enough of themselves to continue to lecture us. That's what this is about. The question is, will Americans who are experiencing this or hear about this, will they be revolted? And then in one stuff that I saw from Legend talking about Jesus and Christ and welcoming strangers, my God. You know, is the country going to wise up and say, the prattling Taylor Swift, I'm waiting any moment for the Kelseys, at least Travis Kelce, one of them, to lecture us and make this into, we need calm, not chaos. And just think of what these towns are going through. This orphanage, as I said, right outside of Gettysburg, and we were just recently to Gettysburg, everything is historic there almost. I mean, the bed and breakfast we stayed in, they kept the bullet holes. Why would they not? It's authentic. All right, 855-839-1210. You get a line. Let's go to Steve in Norristown to start us off on Talk Radio 1210. Hello, Steve.
Yeah, hi, Dom. When I heard that clip you played of John Legend making a comment about dietary issues.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought that sounded like he's almost being a straight man setting up another cat joke.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Steve, this is an opportunity. Look, Trump did not position this well, but what it did is it called attention to it. Now there's time to go back and send the message through these people. What I would do, I'd round up as many as I could, put them on a town hall. I'd buy TV time, do something like that, and let them talk about day-to-day what it's like in their town. There's at least a dozen of them across the country that are experiencing this to greater or lesser degree. Well, look, where you are in Norristown. Norristown's a dumping ground for everything wrong in Montgomery County. All those things were put there, and they said, well, you know, this is where they belong. No, let's put them in other places in Montgomery County that are more affluent. Let's whack it up. What's the most affluent place in Montgomery County? I'm trying to think what I would say is the most affluent. Let's put some of the homeless shelters there. Thank you, Steve.
But I got a side question.
Yes, go ahead.
For the superstition, I'd say probably most popular one in Philadelphia would be you can't put a jersey on the William Penn statue on City Hall.
That's a great one. That is a great one. Put that one down. Might be in the winner's circle. All right, coming up, Tiffany Justice, a friend from Moms for Liberty, one of the co-founders, is in the middle of something that I think is a teachable lesson about how to deal with a hostile media. We'll explain. She actually was dealing with the fact checker. Yep, the guy, that Dale guy, the fact checker. She's next here on Talk Radio 1210. First, let me tell you about Captain Chucky's. School underway, more hectic schedules, all kinds of activities, football. Captain Chucky can take care of one part of that. Let him manage your meal planning. Now, first of all, they have that wild shrimp scampi ravioli, all new. And Chucky's has been teaming up with Vera Pasta, offering lobster, crab, and now wild shrimp ravioli. And remember, a new big item that's been a real favorite of Rose, the delicious, creamy, 5-ounce jumbo lump breaded crab cake with a kick, for those who like to spice it up. It's a perfect time, though, as we head into fall, to get into all the other things they have. Desserts, soups, sides, appetizers, all highest quality ingredients. In addition to the crab cakes, the big rival is that golf shrimp they have. It's a huge hit, always wild caught, never farm raised. And those delicious dom rolls. Try one. So visit Captain Chucky's, location near you. Go to WeLoveCrabCakes.com, WeLoveCrabCakes.com. Headed to the shore? Go to CaptainChuckiesAtTheShore.com. All right, Dom Giordano's show. I love that Moms of Liberty, in addition to everything else, is willing to go on 60 Minutes, knowing, you know, what they're going to try to do with them. Or duke it out with the ultimate fact checker, the Dale guy on CNN, Daniel Dale. Last week, or when they had an event with President Trump, Trump with them talked about kids secretly sending kids to school for gender-affirming surgeries. The school's doing that with other providers. And they wanted to clarify that the schools are an on-ramp for these types of activities, in the words of Moms for Liberty. But I thought more broadly, they deal with this all the time, and yet they go into the lion's den to deal with it. Why do that? Because that's one of my top things. If you can walk in there and duke it out with them, they don't know what to do. All right, so we have with us co-founder of Moms for Liberty. MomsForLiberty.org is the website. Tiffany Justice here on Talk Radio 1210. Tiffany, there's a lot to admire about Moms for Liberty. Ultimate grassroots, it gets results, as we've seen with the recent court win. But willing to go into 60 Minutes and the like, why do that?
Because that's where the people are that need to hear the message the most. You know, you can speak to the echo chamber all day long, and we can all stand around and agree with each other that gender ideology is horrible and, you know, it shouldn't be happening. But until we go out and change the hearts and minds of the American public, we will not make progress on the issue, on this issue, or the issue of parental rights. And so it's just really about Tina and I being dedicated to helping parents to be as informed as possible about issues so they can make the best decisions for their children. And there's no mistake, it's their decision to make, but we want parents to have accurate information when they make those decisions.
Let me probe at the broader thing first before we get into this most recent one. So going to these places so we're not in the echo chamber, couldn't agree more. What's your mindset, though? What are you wary of? What are you trying to do, the two of you, when you did 60 Minutes or some of these things? It seems to me, not that you're not amiable all the time, but you really project that just so people see, hey, we're not monsters. They're the ones that are beating up on us like David Muir in the debate the other night.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way you can go out and you can tell people that, right? Oh, this is what's happening when we're on this show or what have you. But the truth is that until you really people see it for themselves, then they don't know the depth of the way that media is captured. And so, you know, you talk about the fact check in CNN. I interviewed President Trump. It was a huge honor to be able to sit across from him. And what we do at Moms for Liberty is try to get a seat at every table. And so to be able to interview the former president and perhaps future president of the United States meant that was like a huge seat at the table for our moms. And I asked questions about things they were concerned about. But then President Trump made a comment about the schools and their involvement in gender transition. And, you know, the media is so flippant about this issue. And the truth of the matter is that it's a school-to-clinic pipeline. They're introducing students to this ideology in the schools, and then it sets the kids down a path that goes to medical transition and surgical transition often and too often, we'll say that. And so, yeah, that fact checker wanted to call President Trump a liar. And the truth of the matter is he opens a window into an issue that the mainstream media doesn't want to cover. And he does it in a way that's provocative enough that they have no choice but to, because they want the ratings. And then it's our job, the people who are concerned about the issues, to advance and move the issue forward and come with facts. And then that's what I did in that fact check.
Yep, calling it the on-ramp for this. And Tiffany, I think the first point in this, what's the explanation why so many of these kids, particularly young girls, even as young as 8 or 9, suddenly this is going on in schools that we're seeing it? The only logical conclusion I see is that it's a trend. It's almost trendy to think about this at least a little bit. And sometimes it leads to these ghastly consequences that you can't go back from.
Yeah, I mean, Abigail Shire wrote a book called Irreversible Damage, and it talks about the social contagion of something called ROGD kids, rapid onset gender dysphoria. So these aren't children that were presenting with gender confusion early in their lives. You know, that is something that exists. Oftentimes when we've seen in boys, it means that they're gay, not that you should chop their penis off. As is being done right now with boys who don't necessarily, you know, feel like they identify with a male stereotype. But, you know, there's been a rise of this in the schools because of the girls. I mean, look at anything else that happened. Remember the rise in anorexia and bulimia? Then we had all the cutting issues.
Exactly.
Right? I mean, it's a self-harm. You know, the most heartbreaking pictures I see, I've seen the double mastectomy pictures. They call it top surgery. When you look at some of these girls and they have the cut marks all over their arms and you see how much pain they're in and you know that their breasts aren't what's causing that. And, you know, so anyway, it's a social contagion. There is no doubt about it. And there's been a lot of research around it and it just needs to stop because unlike being goth and getting your, you know, maybe getting a tattoo or your piercing or dyeing your hair, this is irreversible damage, as Abigail said.
We're talking co-founder of Moms for Liberty, Tiffany Justice. And Tiffany, this very thing this week, I've found 4 or 5 now, when it was said that Kamala Harris has advocated and not walked it back, that migrants, people here illegally, even they would be eligible for gender transition surgery, all the butcheries we're talking about. Time Magazine Online, The Atlantic, bunch of others, castigated it, and then they went, uh-oh. They looked back, simple research, and they said, oh, we must have missed this. I mean, it's stunning.
It is stunning, but the fact is that, you know, Kamala is a liar. She's a Marxist. We know she is a Marxist. I was so glad that President Trump called her out for that on the debate stage. You saw her have that smile on her face. She knows she's a Marxist. You know, they always marry a truth to a lie. And so we just have to start calling them out on this stuff. And the truth is that she did say that. And even CNN was shocked. So at some point, you know, I think I told you I did an interview once with a reporter and we were talking about the books. And then off camera, she looked at me and she said, I really agree with you on this issue, but, you know, I can't say that on camera. And I just looked at her and I was like, you should probably start asking yourself why. Like at some point, we need to be honest about stuff. And I think the journalists, you know, hopefully they're going to find their ethics again.
Tiffany, one other thing, too. And, you know, we didn't say we'd talk about this, but you can handle this stuff. And I'll tell you what I think on it. It's a school related issue. And my take is I haven't seen it fully, but there's a new movement of a new graphic novel about January 6th. It's being sent to every public high school. I think from what I've seen so far here with this, it would be allowable. But then the question I'd have to the school is, there are other things that have another point of view that's pretty provocative. What's the standard here? And would that be allowed? As long as you're doing that, I don't see this as material that is sexually graphic and revolting and all that. I would allow it as long as the policy would allow things that might give another point of view on this.
You know, I mean, I think it really comes down to what kinds of books in the library and how are we selecting those books. And what we found at Moms for Liberty was that often there wasn't a process in place to even talk about how the books were being selected. And that's how a lot of this stuff got in. So I would want to make sure that there's a process in place that is, you know, making sure that there are balanced perspectives in the library. I think it's important. And also to go further than that, making sure that the books that are in the libraries are aligned with the curriculum. You know, libraries don't have an infinite amount of space, and there's a set amount of money that is given to schools mm-hmm. for library content, probably not enough. So I think that there's some other questions to be answered. And I think that, again, local control here is the most important thing. These decisions should be made as close to the people as possible on their school board.
Yeah. And the goal, and you just articulate, and I know you stand by it. If I were in that library situation, I'd be looking for quality stuff that is relevant to back up the school curriculum. And then I would be thinking, how balanced are these? I mean, how in the world do we have hundreds of progressive or liberal authors and no conservatives, like the Ben Carson book or something? When he's on, he talks about that. There's something wrong there. What are you missing? Why are you not? Are you intentionally doing that?
Yeah, I mean, they are intentionally doing that. The head of the American Library Association is a woman named, I think it's Emily Drabinsky. And she said, like, when she got elected as the president, something like, I can't believe that a Marxist lesbian is going to be the next, you know, right. president of the ALA. Yeah. And I don't care who she wants. She should love who she wants to love. And I think it's great. You're an adult. You make your decisions. It's great. But on the other side of it, you know, the Marxist part is a little concerning because Marxism and communism have taken the lives of over 100 million people in the last 100 years. And this is the person that's giving out the awards to the books that are just the most amazing award-winning books that we have to have in our library, right? None of this is a coincidence.
Absolutely. Great work from Moms for Liberty. MomsForLiberty.org is where you can go to find out about it. Tiffany, thank you very much as always.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Tiffany Justice here on Talk Radio 1210. Yeah, I would allow this novel about January 6th if I thought the policy allowed other things on the other side. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. All right, 855-839-1210. And I invited Tiffany on because they're willing to go into the lion's den. I think it's a mistake. You heard it yesterday. I'll say it again today. We learned just before the event with Don Jr. last night that President Trump has rejected what he called a third debate because it debated Biden, now Harris. Okay. I think it's such an opportunity. I think deep down Harris knows what Chris Christie said. She can't replicate this. Yeah, but Dom, they're going to be biased here. But we've already talked about, though, how to out them and how to defeat them in doing this. I mean, there's all kind of wild conspiracies. The latest at ABC put a light that was shining in Trump's eyes to make him look left to right for some reason. I don't know about that. I think his people would have been checking out lighting and all. But coming up, we'll talk about this LA Times article in which they say, Muir and the woman involved, yeah, the ABC, we're not going to allow what happened on CNN. What was wrong with CNN's debate? They don't like the outcome. The moderators stay out of it. They weren't fact check. All right, you get in now, 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano Show. To this point, we predicted it way back on Tuesday, if you remember. No, Monday, that Springfield, Ohio would be the center of the universe or a large part in the debate. Springfield schools are closed today because of bomb threats. The mayor saying, well, they get this hateful literature and it's from these anti-immigrant Trump supporters. Well, that's what they allege. I mean, the people writing this. We support Trump. Is it that? Or do we have somebody doing that to besmirch Trump supporters again? Certainly a possibility. My theory is always these threats, these things like this, you got to do better, kick in more doors, track them to the ends of the earth, drag them out, and get them the fullest punishment under the extent of the law. So that's happening. But speaking of elitist, we were talking about Johnny Legend, Taylor Swift, Sonny Hostin, the ladies on The View. We had quite a nice segment toward the end of it last night with Don Trump Jr. when he was on the 5,000th episode of The View, what it was like during the break. And he had to be careful because of a priest in the front row there as far as during the breaks. Dan, do we have Sonny on this? Henry, got it? Okay. Here is Sonny Hostin talking about Springfield, Ohio, and how she's told that the Haitians are revitalizing that community.
Donald Trump is still campaigning on lies about Haitian immigrants eating pets in Ohio. They're eating the cats.
They're eating the dogs.
They're eating the pets.
Yes.
Say it.
They're eating the...
I don't want to repeat it.
They're not eating the pets.
Come on, it's hilarious. Well, it's so stupid.
It seems hilarious, but let me say this. What? As a person who comes from husband who is half Haitian and who has Haitian children.
Yes. Right.
These baseless, racist attacks against the Haitian community must stop. Haitians are a dignified people. Haitians are a hard worker.
Have you been to Haiti?
And they are people fleeing a corrupt country and government. Mm-hmm. They are here legally under an immigration program. They have temporary protected status. And white supremacists have now rallied in the city of Springfield, Ohio. They have denounced immigrants at local public meetings. And on Thursday, several public buildings, including a school and the city hall, were evacuated after receiving bomb threats. Let me say this. Haitians have also told ABC News that they are now scared for their lives. Haitians, which now I think are about 15% of the Springfield, Ohio population, have been credited with revitalizing that city.
Yeah.
They have jobs. They are raising their families. They are going to school. And they have revitalized the downtown area. And finally, they are contributing to the town's growth and have helped fuel the economy since the pandemic. And that is coming from the other people that live in Springfield, right. Ohio.
My God. These people, right, sitting in their million-dollar enclaves. Whoopi Goldberg lives in a gated community. How can she do that? Isn't that racist somehow or another? You can't. Well, what is gates and walls? Sonny Hostin, millions of dollars a year. Taylor Swift, Johnny Legend, lecturing the people of these towns. Well, guess what? Thanks to her Kleon efforts, because finding these people, we're going to go to Charleroi. I have to break it up to say that.
Think of Charlemagne the God.
All right, Charleroi.
Charleroi.
Charleroi. And talk.
This is a small 4,000 person town of Charleroi, Pennsylvania.
Trump shouting out yesterday to them. We have the main guy, the councilman, and we have the mayor. And they are very balanced. I talked with them today to lay out what it's like there when they have this surge of people and they have businesses closing there also. Yeah, Johnny Legend, no, they're not Christian enough. Sonny Hostin, how dare you? We need more. Put them in your neighborhood. Why is that never the question? Oh, that's a racist question. Why is it people living in these neighborhoods never have this type of influx? Well, they wouldn't have enough money to be here. Oh, really? Why don't you have low-income housing then? Phone lines are 855-839-1210. They're next here on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.